Hello and welcome to episode number 2 of How to Live Ancient Wisdom for Our Time. In this particular series, I'll be reading from one of my favorite books, The Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. In episode 1, we touched on 4 different aspects of the meditations from book 2. In particular, in his time when he was in Gaul. In this episode, we will be covering 4 more passages from the books, and mostly it will be chapter 3. For those of you who have joined for the first time, I'm going to be giving you a brief introduction of who Marcus Aurelius was. So here goes. Pardon me for reading out from my notes. Here we go. Marcus Aurelius was an emperor of Rome during the 2nd century AD. The last in a line of 5 emperors known to have ruled Rome with authority, humanity, and competence. He was born into a Roman family, but not the royal lineage. From these beginnings, it would seem a remote possibility that he would one day become emperor of the Roman Empire, let alone one of the most famous emperors. Marcus's rule was not an easy period for the Roman Republic. The last years of his predecessor saw the empire attacked on all sides. The Parthian War lasted from 161 to 166. While the Romans won the war, they brought back a plague, which would eventually kill 5 million people. The Gauls were attacking the northern Roman border, but in Gaul and across the Danube. If this wasn't enough to deal with, Christianity was rising and assuming increasing political power. The last of the 5 good emperors, Marcus Aurelius is a reminder that despite the saying that absolute power corrupts absolutely, that is not always the case. At the time of his death, he was one of the most powerful people on earth. He could have had anything he wanted, and few, if any, would dare challenge him on anything. And yet, he proved himself deserving of the power he held. Under Marcus Aurelius, the empire was guided by virtue and wisdom. Today, we are left with what are essentially his journals, his meditations, his diary. The journal shows that the most powerful man on the planet was going through the same problems that we deal with today, the same problems that we will be grappling with tomorrow. When Marcus Aurelius died and his successor took his place, the Roman world began a decline that it would never really recover from. His extraordinary wisdom is among the most valuable we can study today. Thank you for joining me. First-timers, welcome. I see a few names that I know over there. Let's dive right in. Book 3. This is written in Carnuntum. Of course, this is an old name for a city. Carnuntum is essentially Lower Austria, Lower Vienna, in fact, near Bratislava and on the route from Vienna and Bratislava, somewhere in between. Book 3, Part 4. Do not waste the remaining part of your life in thoughts about other people when you are not thinking with reference to some aspect of the common good. Why deprive yourself of the time for some other task? I mean, thinking about what so-and-so is doing and why and what he is saying or contemplating or plotting and all that line of thought makes you stray from the close watch on your own directing mind. No, in the sequence of your thoughts, you must avoid all that is casual or aimless. The most particularly anything prying or malicious. Train yourself to think only those thoughts, such that in answer to the sudden question, what is in your mind now? You could say with immediate frankness, whatever it is, this or that. And so your answer can give direct evidence that all your thoughts are straightforward and kindly, the thoughts of a social being who has no regard for the fancies of pleasure or wider indulgence, for rivalry, malice, suspicion, or anything else that one would blush to admit was in one's mind. That's an interesting passage, isn't it? He talks about, you know, why deprive yourself of the time for some other task. He's talking about, you know, why let your mind stray? Why let it bother itself with what other people think and what other people say and the opinions of others? I think all of us really have this, suffer from this. It's not something that is new. We don't need a Roman emperor 2,000 years ago to tell us that. It shows you the character of humans and the mind of a human being is really not evolved, and it's kind of sad, but it's also very fascinating that, you know, we can learn so much from someone who has written all of these things all those years ago. But more importantly, what I find really, really telling in all of this is the thoughts that we all have. This line, the thoughts of a social being who has no regard for the fancies of pleasure or wider indulgence, for rivalry or malice or suspicion or anything else. Now, that's a very important line, because as a society, we need each other, but yet we are driven by malice and, you know, greed and, you know, all those sorts of things, pleasure and indulgence, which we don't really require in the modern times, in the modern days, especially nowadays. We are driven by immediate gratification, instant gratification, where we want everything at the, you know, at the flick of a wrist, of a flick of a finger. We can buy anything we want at any point of time, next day delivery. Think of all these things. These are things that are, this is not happiness. Satisfying these instincts, this is indulgence, this is running after pleasure. These are all things which are, you know, really capricious and frankly create more muddle in our minds, and we are not able to concentrate on our own being and taking care of our own self and thinking about our own mind. We are so afraid to let our mind be alone that we are willing to fill it, our mind and our lives, with all sorts of objects and pleasures and indulgences. So that, for me, is the takeaway on this particular part. This is, of course, from book 3, part 4. Please feel free to discuss in the chat if you have your thoughts of your own. I'll move on to the next section, which is book 3, part 5. Here we go. You should take no action unwillingly, selfishly, uncritically, or with conflicting motives. Do not dress up your thoughts in the smart finery. Do not be a gabbler or a meddler. Further, let the God that is within you be the champion of the being you are. A male, mature in years, a statesman, a Roman, a ruler, one who has taken his post like a soldier waiting for the retreat from life to sound and ready to depart past the need for any loyal oath or human witness. And see that you keep a cheerful demeanor and retain your independence. Outside help and the peace which others can give. Your duty is to stand straight, not held straight. I'll repeat the last line. And see that you keep a cheerful demeanor and retain your independence of outside help and the peace which others can give. Your duty is to stand straight, not held straight. Now, this is really one of my, I really, really like this line, you know, this passage. He says so many things. For those of you who have, you know, who are listening to this for the first time, there's a lot of reference to, you know, things like, you know, a male or mature in years, a statesman, a Roman and a ruler. You see, these are his diaries. So he's essentially writing to himself. So if he says God, or if he says man, it's just a product of its time. One must take it in its right way, depending on our current time. So when I say man, it doesn't have to be only man. It's applicable to every human being. But getting back to this this paragraph, do not dress up your thoughts in smart finery. Do not be a gabbler or a meddler. What is he trying to say? Do not try to be someone who you're not. Do not try to be, pretend. Be who you are. There is so much pretense around us. Each one of us pretend, of course. Shakespeare said that all of us wear masks and, you know, we take on roles depending on the situation. Yes, that's true. But the pretense that we have is the root cause of the dishonesty that we have with ourselves in our own minds. So it's really important to have thoughts which are clear. Now, I'm not saying that these things are easy. Clear thoughts and honesty is never an easy thing, especially in our world. But more importantly, he says, retreat from the life, the sound of life. What does this mean? He's talking about all the noise that is there in the background constantly. Stuff is happening. So many things are happening around the world. There's constant bombardment of information and opinion and this and that. And, you know, and there's a lot of noise, and unfortunately, a lot of that is negative. Which in turn brings me to the point of how we connect this noise, the sound of the world, to the previous passage, part in the passage, which talks about having clear thought, not dressing up our thoughts. We have become a society where everybody seems to be agreeing to everything. Everything is alike. Everything is good vibes all the time. Well, that's great. But is that the real you? Question yourself on that. And of course, the last part being the real sucker punch. Your duty, he says, is to stand straight and not be held straight. Dependence. To me, this is about dependence. Being dependent on somebody or something. You know, it could be for anything. It could be for our lives. It could be for our relationships. It could be for our, you know, support systems and all of those sorts of things. But being dependent on anybody is what he's essentially getting at in this last line of this particular book. The very, very, I think, very important 3 points that he has said in this paragraph. The first, of course, being clarity of thought, not disguising your thoughts, being who you are. The second being, you know, being independent. And the third, of course, you know, sort of, you know, not giving into the din and the noise of the world and be influenced by that, and have a mind which is, you know, which is strong and independent enough. At this point, I've read two paragraphs from book 3 of The Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. For those of you who have just joined, thank you for joining. Sanket, hello there. Shelly, hi. Sanya, Bindi Mehta, hello. Shamika, always nice to see you. Wayward 72, hello there. Sujoy Mondal, glad you could make it. And Meena Dattu Gupta, of course, good to see you as well. Please feel free to discuss anything if you have in the chat room. It'll be nice to have a, you know, conversation happening on the comment section as well before I move into the third part of this particular reading. I'm reading, of course, from The Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. I know it is inverted, sorry about that, but you get the idea. It's not an easy book to read. It's not like a crime novel or anything like that. Neither is it like a autobiography or anything. It doesn't read in any particular order, because these thoughts were written over a good 10 or 12 years, because Marcus Aurelius, the larger part of his reign was spent on the northern frontier, battling the Germanic hordes and protecting the Roman boundaries. So these are essentially very, very random thoughts that he would pen down every night after the day's battle was over, and he would pen these thoughts down. And this was never really intended for publication. It just so happened to have survived somehow, which is extraordinary in its own way. And of course, Marcus Aurelius is one of the great Stoics, belonging to the school of Stoicism. which even now, and especially nowadays, has become very popular. It has made a resurgence. A little bit about that, modern day cognitive behavioral therapy, which is CBT, has its roots in Stoicism, and you can see why. There's a lot of great things in there. Some of the great Stoics were, of course, Marcus Aurelius, the philosopher king, he was known as Seneca, the advisor to the mad king Nero. Musonius Rufus was another great Stoic philosopher, and there was, of course, Epictetus, who was the slave philosopher, all in different parts of time in the history of Greece and Rome. Thank you very much for joining, and let's move on to chapter 7 of book 3. Never regard as a benefit to yourself anything which will force you at some point to break your faith, to leave integrity behind, to hate, suspect, or curse each other, to dissemble, to covet anything needing the secrecy of walls and drapes. A man who has put first his own mind and worships the supremacy of the God within him makes no drama of his life. No hand-wringing, no craving for solitude or crowds. Most of all, his will be a life of neither pursuit nor avoidance. Very important line. And it is of no remote concern to him whether he will retain the bodily envelope of his soul for longer or shorter time. Even if release must come here and now, he will depart as easily as he would perform any other act that admits integrity and decency. Throughout all his life, his one precaution is that his mind should not shift to a state without affinity to a rational and social being. Now, this, you see, it's to the Stoics, being having great virtue and integrity and wisdom was the pinnacle of achievement, and that's very much part of the Stoic philosophy as well. So these three things, integrity and virtue, and of course they practice philosophy because of its wisdom. So these three things were absolutely critical. So you'll find throughout the meditations, when we go through these series, you'll find these aspects coming in time and time again. And it's interesting that, he has to constantly remind himself of this, So, just looking at this paragraph, he says, no matter what happens, no matter how much hate you have, how much, whether you curse someone else or you don't want to covet something else that somebody else has, or you are trying to hide yourself, never do that. Never do that. Don't break your integrity. Integrity is everything for him. And one must remember that while I'm sure each one of you, I hope, are listening to these passages where I'm trying to make sense of some things or interpreting it, you have to put yourself in his shoes. He was at one point of time, he was the most powerful person on the planet. I mean, being the king of the emperor of a Roman Empire was at its peak. So the vast parts of the, at least the discovered world, were in the realm of the Roman Empire. So there's a lot of sort of self-counseling going on over here, and that's something that it's natural. I mean, I can't even imagine his day, fighting outside, leading the troops, also managing, because there was a plague going on, as well as having to remote control the running of the empire, the Roman Empire. Not an easy situation, And so these things, he felt that integrity, wisdom, and these are absolutely critical to him. And of course, when we look at this particular line, when he talks about, neither one should, you know, be overawed by the crowds that are out there. One should crave as much solitude as one can get. Make no drama of your life. What he's essentially saying is to keep a balance, and we all know that. He's not saying anything new. We have to keep a balance, but it's not easy doing that, which is why, you know, he tries to counsel himself into forming balance through the avoidance of whatever pleasures and things like that that are there out in the world. Tough one. This is a tough tough passage to interpret, because he's saying so many things. I mean, a lot of the things that he says are tough to interpret, because they are almost incomprehensible, because we don't know exactly with what background he's writing these things down. So I hope I made some sense in trying to interpret that particular passage. Let's welcome a couple of more people. Thanks for joining, Tanya. Thanks for joining, Sudeep. Let's give you all a wave. And moving on, let's look at part 4 of this particular book, book 3, not part 4, excuse me, part 10. Discard all else and secure only a few things. Remind yourself, too, that each of us lives only in the present moment, a mere fragment of time. The rest is life past or uncertain future. Sure, life is a small thing, and small the cranny of the earth in which we live it. Small, too, even the longest fame thereafter, which is itself subject to a succession of little men who will quickly die and have no knowledge even of themselves, let alone of those being dead. Phenomenal. This is a phenomenal line. You know, I've always felt that some of Marcus's shorter passages in which he doesn't ramble on tend to be really powerful, right? So if there's anybody in the chat who would like to interpret this, please have a discussion. Please comment. It'll be great to have some participation. But I'll just go on with some of my interpretations on this. So discard all else and secure these few things only. Let's look at this now, because the whole point of these sessions is to interpret ancient wisdom for our modern times. This is, to me, this is minimalism. Do we really need all of these things that we have? After all, we live such a short period of time. But really, what's really telling about this particular line is that each of us lives only in the present moment. That's phenomenal. That line is phenomenal. And a mere fragment of time. The rest is either past or the future, which we don't know anything of. Again, this is a recurring theme with him of being in the present. It's a recurring theme in 2021. We are in the where whether we are in the 2021 plague or whether we are in the 161 AD Antonine plague. Very, very similar situation, very, very similar set of circumstances. And you must remember that he essentially, because of who he was, would have always been enticed by all the, you know, pleasures and all the riches of the world. There is an example of him. I don't know whether this is a true story, it's an anecdote. I read it somewhere, that Marcus Aurelius did not sleep on the emperor's bed. He had it dismantled. He used to sleep on the floor. Without any frills, he slept on the floor. And he grew a beard and he had longer hair and things like that, which was very much a sort of a fashion statement at that point of time for being of a certain philosophical mind and a certain personality. So did not sleep on the emperor's bed. So who knows whether that's true, but that's a nice story anyway. But then let's go back to this. Sure, life is a small thing in the small and small the cranny of the earth in which we live it. And small the cranny of the earth in which we live it. Now he's talking about, we are on this earth for such a short period of time. We are so small, we are so insignificant. All our riches and all our fame and all the things that we work towards, is all going to be forgotten. It's all going to be forgotten, whether you're a great man or you're a little man of no consequence. No one is going to be remembered. And they will all quickly die and they have no knowledge of themselves. I think that, I love that line. And have no knowledge even of themselves. So, this is a really, really, really interesting one, where he is essentially just talking about, we are so insignificant, we are nothing. There is a passage later on in the meditations in which he talks about a fascinating concept of how if we were to go up into the sky and see ourselves, we would seem even more insignificant. And that's quite an amazing thought experiment for someone from 2000 years ago, which we can do these days. Apparently they say, right, scientists and astronauts, when they go up into space, they say that something happens when you go into space and you see the world from there. It's a very life-changing moment, apparently. So that's something that he does allude to later on in the books. We will get to that at some point of time. But yes, there is these are the four chapters that I thought we will read today from book three of the Meditations. If you have any questions, comments, suggestions, or anything of that sort, please feel free to chat. Hi, Robin Age Newspaper, Ridhima, good to see you. Hi, Sushi Mushi, good to see you. Shamika gives much love. Sudeep says, nothing exists beyond the present moment. All else is ego. Quite right indeed. Quite right indeed. Ego. Ego is the enemy. But that is the long and short of it for this episode of How to Live, Ancient Wisdom for Our Times. And if you like what you saw, if you feel you want to share it with your friends and family, please do pass it on. Like this video and share it. And that's pretty much it. And tell people about it. We're going to be reading once again, probably next week, for episode three, where to come is the Top Shelf 94. Oh, we have a question before we sign off. What is the central reason behind you choosing this particular book for discussion? Because I like it. And I feel that there's a lot to learn from this book. And I have been reading it for many years, reread it and reread it for many, many years. So this is something that we will continue to doing as long as we can pick some comprehensible passages from the book, because some of the things just don't make any sense and no one's been able to figure them out. So the aim is to share this knowledge with you all, and if it's useful, great. You can take something from it, and if you like what you see, please, please share it with your friends and family and anybody else who you think might enjoy something like this and benefit. So, good night. Have a great weekend. Happy Friday. Tomorrow is Gandhi Jayanti, the 2nd of October, so public holiday. So take care of yourselves and be good. Bye.